But let us turn instead to our first reading from the Psalms, Psalm 27. This is in page 503 of our Pew Bible. Why don't you open that to that page, and we'll read this responsively. It's good to read the Psalms responsively, and whenever we read an entire psalm, it somehow takes away some of our anxiety because you don't have to worry if you're going to stop at the right time. You don't want to be the person, the one person that kind of keeps going when everyone else has stopped. That's a bad feeling. So I'll read the odd verses, starting with verse 1, and you read the even verses. And let me just, there's one spot I noticed in first hour that somebody had a little trouble with. If you look at verses 8 and 9, they sort of divided that a little bit funny. So verse 9 will come up on you maybe kind of quick, but don't be alarmed. That's the only thing that I want to tell you. So on page 503, Psalm 27, we'll read it responsively. Listen now for a word from God. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?
When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they shall stumble and fall.
Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident.
One thing I ask of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, to inquire in his temple.
For he will hide me in his shelter in the day of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock.
Now my head is lifted up above my enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord.
Hear, O Lord, when I cry aloud, be gracious to me and answer me.
Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek.
Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger, you who have been my help. Do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation.
If my father and mother forsake me, the Lord will take me up.
Teach me your way, O Lord, and lead me on a level path because of my enemies.
Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for all witnesses have risen against me.
I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living.
Wait for the Lord. Be strong and let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord.
The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
The second reading comes to us this morning from the Gospel of John, chapter 21, verses 1 through 8. Listen now for the word of God. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples by the Sea of Tiberias. And he showed himself in this way. Gathered there together were Simon Peter, Thomas, called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples. Simon Peter said to him, I'm going fishing. And they said to him, we will go with you. They went out into the boat, but that night they caught nothing. Just after daybreak, Jesus stood on the beach, but the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus said to them, children, you have no fish, have you? They answered him, no. He said to them, cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some. So they cast it, and now they were not able to haul it in because there were so many fish. That disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, it is the Lord. And when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put on some clothes, for he was naked, and jumped into the lake. But the other disciples came in the boat, dragging the net full of fish, for they were not far off from the land, about 100 yards off. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Well, as Mike said, Mike and I were students at Tusculum College. We were both English majors, also called into the ministry. Also, amazingly, Mike served First Presbyterian Church of Kirksville, Missouri, which is the very church that I grew up in, and my father served for 11 years. So our friendship has been a tremendous gift of joy for me, and it's just a tremendous blessing to be here at your pulpit. So thank you so much, the invitation of the session and your congregation to be with you. I was also thinking back to, as I was traveling over here, and remembered that I was present for Mike's very first sermon that he ever preached at Zion Presbyterian Church, and Mike invited me to come and play my guitar as the anthem. It didn't sound nearly as good as the choir that you have today, but it was a great joy to be part of that day as well. So with that, let us pray. Loving and gracious God, once again we have entered into your holy sanctuary, and we ask now that you would enter into the sanctuary of our hearts. We ask that you would silence in us every voice but your own. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. In this familiar story in the Gospels, Jesus is teaching the Galilean fishermen some very basic problem-solving skills. Now, having good problem-solving skills is essential to living a healthy Christian life. And Jesus was very mindful, was very aware of this reality. As Jesus, as we know, and we especially encounter these stories throughout our Lenten pilgrimage, that Jesus faced a multitude of problems that confronted him, that challenged him, and he was called to deal with those problems faithfully, effectively, and lovingly. Now, in our scripture passage this morning from the Gospel of John, it's an ordinary day. The Galilean fishermen, they're out, they're pursuing what they do best. They're trained as Galilean fishermen to catching fish is what they do best. And yet here they are in this moment, and they're feeling stuck. They went out and they caught nothing. Now I bet there are times that you have gone out to do something that you were trained to do, and you came back empty-handed, just as these Galilean fishermen. Of course, we have all been in situations like that. It must have been embarrassing, I would imagine, for the Galilean fishermen, because this is what they do best. They catch fish. And here they find themselves in a position where they're pursuing their God-given talent, pursuing their vocation, and for some reason they're not succeeding at it. The fishermen, they're stuck. And just like any of us, what do? When we get stuck, we want to get unstuck. We want to find that place, like it says in Acts, where we can live and move and where we can have our being. Now, gleaning insight from this passage, I want to share with you in my observation and reflection on this passage, which is part of the lectionary during the Lenten season. Not today's lectionary, but during the Lenten lectionary as a whole, I want to share with you three problem-solving techniques that we might consider in our spiritual pilgrimage. The first problem-solving technique is this. Listen for God's voice. Listen for God's wisdom in the midst of a problem. Now, when we're stuck in a problem, I think it can become easy for the most faithful I've known of Christians to become so absorbed in the problem that we can't see anything else but the problem. Instead, we need to step back to be still, to know that I am God, as Psalm 46 says, and to listen for insight from the Holy Spirit. Now, the disciples in this moment, they listened for God speaking to them. Even if it was for just a moment, and lucky enough for them, God spoke. And what Jesus said, cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some fish. Now, that, when I hear that, I think, now that's a novel idea. Cast the net to the right side of the boat, and you will find some fish. That does not sound like much of a solution to me. Stay in the same body of water. Use the same equipment. Use the same nets. Fish with the same group of people. Just do this one thing different, and the solution, the outcome will change drastically. What are the chances of anything changing? What are the chances of catching fish? That brings me to problem-solving technique number two. Do one thing different. Now, sure, it sounds easy, but I don't think that it is. You see, when you do one thing different, you have to let go of a little bit of your ego. I wonder what it sounded like to these professional fishermen when they heard Jesus say, simply cast the net to the right side of the boat and you will catch some fish. On the surface, it seems elementary. It seems absurd. That is all we need to do. Is cast the net to the other side of the boat. Will it really make that much of a difference, Jesus? I can hear the disciples saying. Well, in the case of the Galilean fishermen, doing one thing different made all the difference. Family systems theory has a very profound spiritual truth that I've reflected on again and again in my ministry. It's the belief that the role that we tended to play in our family system or of our family of origin tends to be the role that we continue to play in society. Edwin Friedman talks about a notion of bringing change to a system by what he calls defecting in place, is what he calls it. To leave without leaving was another way that he put it. Thus, to bring about a change to an unlivable situation. In other words, change yourself and the system changes. Now, for some parents, this might mean saying, no, I'm not going to do your homework anymore for you because that's your responsibility. Now the system has changed. For Rosa Parks, it meant saying, no, I'm not going to keep riding the bus in Birmingham, and I refuse to sit in the back. Now, Rosa Parks changed one thing, and it made a huge difference. I was reflecting on this with one of my great friends and mentors, Reverend Tom Court, Sardis Presbyterian Church, where he recently retired, and he reflected on it this way. He said, Jonas, he said, I remember when I was into walking every morning, and I took the same route every day from the front door. It became boring after so many walks. And then I read that when you get stuck in the rut of walking the same route, simply walk the other way, go the opposite. Start where you usually end and end where you usually start. It was amazing how different things looked, he said, just by walking the same route the opposite way. So the hills that I once walked up, now I walked down. And the ones that I walked down, I now walked up. And it was the same hill. I just changed direction, and it made a huge difference. I don't know what it is about human beings that when we tend to get stuck, we tend to repeat the same pattern again and again, expecting that somehow the situation will magically change on its own. Somehow with this expectation that things will just shift independently of our behavior. Maybe we think that our way is the best way. After all, we've developed a set of problem-solving skills that have served us quite well in our marriages, in our with our church family, in our workplace, and in the community. Do one thing different. Change any one part of what you usually do in the problem situation. So if in a situation of conflict that where one might feel like as a default might get angry and defensive, instead sit quietly and listen. Or if you take a more of a passive role in a situation of challenge, maybe it's your calling in the Holy Spirit to assert yourself and to speak your mind, even if that might feel counterintuitive for you. Now, it sounds easy, but when we do one thing different, it changes everything. That brings me to problem-solving technique number 3. Focus on what you would like to have happen rather than what is happening. Now, the problem situation, of course, the Galilean fishermen, they fished all night, they caught nothing. And Jesus asks them a question that they probably already knew. Children, you have no fish, do you? No, Jesus, we didn't catch anything. You could hear almost that irritation in their voice. The disciples, they could have stopped there, but instead of focusing on what was happening in that moment, they focused on what they wanted to see happen. And what needed to happen was the people needed to be fed. Focus on what you would like to have happen rather than what is happening. This is the internal work that Jesus asks the disciples, what he asks them to do before they cast their nets once again into the deep waters. Now, with this third problem-solving technique, I have to say here, and be very careful to say that this problem-solving technique is not flawless. It does not go without its flaws. For instance, I would think that it would be terrible advice to someone in Haiti, for example, to say to someone in a situation like that, focus on what you would like to have happen rather than what is happening. I believe that in certain situations of grief and deprivation, that this advice can be terribly out of context and even dehumanizing or an affront to one's complex emotions of deep grief and deprivation. Yet in the right context, this technique can facilitate healthy change and healing. And Scripture has a multitude of examples of this, of focusing on what the community of faith would like to have happen rather than what is happening. For example, the book of Revelation gives us this image, profound image of a new heaven and a new earth, a place where God will wipe every tear from our eyes, where death will be no more, where mourning and crying and pain are no more. An image that the prophet Isaiah offers, where the wolf shall live with the lamb, where the calf and the lion and the fatling and a little child shall lead them. They will not hurt or destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be full of the knowledge of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The prophet Amos longs for a time when justice will roll down like waters and righteousness like an ever-flowing stream. And even Jesus Christ, in his great and most famous prayer of all, prays for the perfect and the peaceable community when he says, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven." So I want to bring this kind of down to earth here at First Presbyterian Church of Brandon and what it might look to do one thing different here in this context, in this time and place. I want to ask you, people of faith, what one thing will you do different this Lenten season here at First Presbyterian Church of Brandon? How might it begin here in this season of Lent? I want you to prayerfully consider one action or one way of being that you might do differently in service to Jesus Christ in this place. One very practical example of something you might consider, I want to invite you to reflect on what door do you normally enter into this place of worship? I invite you to exit today from a different door than you normally exit. And to consider entering into a different door next Sunday or the next time you enter into the church. And what do you observe as you do this one thing different? What do you notice? Reverend Barbara Brown Taylor points out that Lent actually comes from an English word meaning spring. She says that it's not just a reference to the crocuses pushing their ways out of the ground in the season before Easter, but also to the greening of the human soul, pruned with repentance, fertilized with fasting, spritzed with self-appraisal, and mulched with prayer. I like that. People of faith, what will happen when we do one thing different in this season of Lent? What will spring forth in us, in our church family, and in the community this season? People of God, let us do one thing different, and as individuals and as a family of faith, may we ground it in the vision of Jesus and the prophets, the vision that they longed for, the vision that they embraced. Do one thing different in your workplace. Do something different in the way that you deal with your family dynamics in your home or perhaps with your extended family. Do one thing different with the way that you use your evenings or the way that you relate to the poor, the forgotten, and the oppressed. Do one thing different and be sure to ground it in love, mercy, and justice. And so in summary, when we are faced with a problem situation, may we apply these three problem-solving techniques. Listen for the voice of God. Listen for God's wisdom in the midst of a challenge. Do one thing different. Focus on what you would like to have happen rather than what is happening. Cast the net to the other side of the boat. Do one thing different, and it just may change everything, just as it did for these Galilean fishermen. Amen. I invite you now to join me in a responsive litany as a closing for the proclamation today, and a special thanks to Dylan, who's running the slides as well. All right, let us join in this litany. People of faith, as you continue on your journey of faith, do one thing different. May we ground our way of being and action in the love, mercy, and justice of the living God. On our Lenten journey, may we be ever attentive to God's voice. May we do one thing different and let it make all the difference. Let us pray. Loving and gracious God, we are so thankful for your presence in all the seasons of our lives, times when we are successful and the times that we meet challenge. Just as you were with the disciples in all the times in their lives when they caught fish, as well as times when they came up empty-handed. Enable us, O God, as your people to do one thing different, and may it bring life, love, and peace to our own lives of faith, and also to your church, and to all those that we meet. For we pray all this as fully and as faithfully as we can, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.